You're listening to MLB on TuneIn Live,
the podcast.
Play ball!
Presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. eSurance, insurance for the modern world. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB on TuneIn Live. MLB on TuneIn Live airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time on TuneIn. This is MLB on TuneIn,
the podcast,
presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and LaTroy Hawkins.
Welcome into MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance. I'm Holden Kushner, and today I'm joined by LaTroy Hawkins. We'll get to Madison Bumgarner in just a moment, but there were a full 15 games on Friday, and that's where we're going to start the podcast today as we bring in our Friday feature, Save of the Week, presented by eSurance, followed by Best Day Ever, Home Run Tracker, and Statistically Speaking. It's time now for our Friday feature. How about this? We got...
Time now for the Save of the Week, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. eSurance, insurance for the modern world.
Saves of the Week presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. eSurance, insurance for the modern world. LaTroy, got a few plays from this week that we're going to let you choose which play was the eSurance play of the week. Delino DeShields winning in that scoreless game in 13 last night between the Rangers and the Royals. We had Sean Kelly getting two saves in one game after C.B. Buckner's horrific call of a foul tip on a pitch that was not touched, that was 8 inches away from the bat. We got Yoedis Cespedes gunned down by Cesar Hernandez. We got Dansby Swanson's walk-off and Addison Russell's three-run homer in a walk-off win for the Cubs. What is the eSurance Save of the Week, my friend?
eSurance Save of the Week for me will be Addison Russell's three-run walk-off bomb.
And that was the eSurance Save of the Week, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. eSurance, insurance is for the modern world. Now it's time for our choice of the performers of the night in a segment that we love to call...
Best Day Ever on MLB on TuneIn Live.
Friday night here, so Best Day Ever. I'm going to have to go with a guy that's playing in your backyard right now, LaTroy. Joey Gallo, two home runs, 462-foot home run. You were going to go with Joey, weren't you?
Nope.
You weren't going to go with Joey Gallo? Joey Gallo is my man at the plate with that monster bomb. I mean, the second one was just a cherry on top.
My best day ever is Trevor Story. Mm-hmm. 1-for-4, but that one hit was a grand slammy. Oppo Taco. Best day ever. Trevor Story, first career grand slammy.
All right. Now, let me ask you something, because I got two pitchers I'm going with. Is one of your pitchers Dylan Bundy or Corey Kluber?
Yes, Dylan Bundy.
Which one? You're going with Bundy? I was going to go. All right, you go with Dylan Bundy. And Bundy tonight, 7 shutout innings, 3 Ks. He beat Boston. And I'm going to go Corey Kluber because he had a complete game shutout with 9 strikeouts. You don't see it too often anymore. Kluber was spectacular. 110 pitches, 73 strikes. But, man, I tell you, it's been a long time coming for Dylan Bundy. He's finally healthy, and it's really starting to show now.
That's good. He's 3-1 with a 1.37 so far this season. He's given him an added boost towards the back end of that rotation. And you know what? You know what? He's just picking up where he left off last year. He started to turn the corner last year, and he's picking up where he left off at.
Yep, absolutely. Let's catch up on a whole bunch of things that went down this evening. A lot of home runs in the books.
MLB on TuneIn Live, Home Run Tracker.
Oh, we'll start with the first home run of the night. Bryce Harper hit a two-run blast for the Nats, went a 418 feet, 108 miles an hour off the bat in Citi Field. Jordy Mercer of the Phillies hit one 409. Michael Conforto went deep. So did Corey Dickerson, blasting one 433 and 109 off the bat for the Rays. Carlos Beltran, second home run in as many days, 412 feet tonight. Josh Bell, Logan Morrison, Evan Longoria, all going yard. Bell with the Pirates, the last two with the Rays. Jason Hayward of the Cubs hit his first home run since September of last year, 434-foot blast. Jose Lobaton of the Nats, 422. Javier Baez of the Cubs, 424 feet, 107 off the bat. Adam Duvall hit one a great a great American ballpark home run. That's what that was, at 351 feet, 99 miles an hour off the bat. Robinson Chirinos with two home runs. His first one went only 415 feet, which is still a nice shot, but his second one went 435 tonight. Freddie Freeman hit one 425, 109 off the bat. Manny Machado also hit one 109 off the bat, went 421. But the longest and hardest hit, the hardest hit baseball tonight, went 116 miles an hour off the bat, and it went farther than any other home run this season. Joey Gallo of the Texas Rangers, 462 in his first home run. Let me ask you something here, LaTroy. Does the ball just fly farther in Texas? Because it seems like most of the home runs, when we get to the end of the year, it's Mazzara, it's Odor, it's Gallo. Are these guys just stronger than everybody else, or is there something to that ballpark down there?
I don't know about stronger than everyone else, but, you know, those balls are right in those guys, right in their wheelhouse. And we call it their sweet spot. And the balls that are being hit there are, like, nailed. And I think Joey Gallo's ball was the hardest hit ball, you know, off the bat at 116 miles an hour. I don't care where you hit the ball at, it's going to be gone. It's going to go a long way hit with that type of exit velocity.
Yep, no doubt about it. Curtis Granderson hit one 405. Brandon Guyer's big three-run home run went 398. It was Corey Seager at 422. But how about Joey Gallo? He hits one 462, and his other one was 379. My goodness. So one left the bat at 116, the other at 110. The second one he still smoked. Corey Seager's went 422 feet in the desert air in Arizona. A.J. Pollock hit one 397. James McCann of the Tigers, 406. Charlie Blackmon, well, this is the shortest home run you'll ever see. It went 312 feet, 100 miles off the bat, because it was an inside-the-park home run. Brandon Belt, 456. Man, he mashed that. 456, 106 off the bat, but 456, that's pretty close to Joey Gallo, just 6 feet shy there. Anthony Rizzo's most important home run tonight, I think, was Rizzo's, 369 feet. Eddie Rosario went 398. That was a really important home run for the Twins. Marcelo Ozuna hit one 433, and Ryan Braun, 411. Let's go a little deeper into the stats.
Statistically speaking.
LaTroy, Joey Gallo has 35 career hits. Do you know how many of them are home runs?
16.
Well, 12. Not bad. But think about that. Like a third of his, more than a third of his hits are home runs.
Not surprised. He's one of those guys all or nothing.
Most home runs by pitchers in the last two seasons. Madison Bumgarner has 5. Adam Wainwright hit one tonight. He has 3. Noah Syndergaard has 3. So Wainwright can swing the stick. 1 year ago today, Jake Arrieta threw his second career no-hitter. The Cubs beat the Reds 16-0. There hasn't been a no-hitter since. I didn't even think about that until Abe wrote that down. 5 years ago today, Philip Humber's perfect game. Also, the last time the White Sox, Cubs, Blackhawks, Bulls all won on the same day.
Where is Phil Humber at now?
He's nowhere to be found.
I figured that.
Because he was with the Twins at the time. He came up, he was a Mets prospect from what I remember.
He threw the no-hitter for the
That's what we were just talking about. Yeah, he had the perfecto. His last season was in Houston where he was 0-8 with a 7.90 ERA. But yeah, he came up with the Mets. He was a pretty big prospect, Phil Humber.
I don't care how his career goes, he can always say he threw a no-hitter at the big league level.
Yeah.
Wow.
A perfecto, that's even better.
Yeah, a perfect game at the big league level.
The Pirates 7-0 on games played on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 0-9 any other day. So just don't play from Monday through Thursday. That's a fascinating stat. I like that. Madison Bumgarner on the DL, first time in his career after he fell off a dirt bike. 6 straight seasons with 30 starts and 200 innings pitched. Second longest active streak in baseball. Longest active streak goes to Cole Hamels with 7 straight seasons. Of 30 starts and 200 innings pitched. Zach Wheeler's pinch hit had a 6% hit probability. You know what? Just erase. I don't even care. I hate hit probability. That's a stupid stat. Anyways, it was 0.94 was the probability of him getting a hit, but that's the last one. Abe didn't know that. Any of these probabilities, they come up with these stats during the games. And again, I like numbers. I like stats. I think they're fun. But it's like, this team has a 4% chance of winning the game. And then they hit a home run. And all of a sudden, it's a 50-50 chance now. I mean, give me a break with the probabilities mid-game. Stupid.
Can you please make that make that voice of when that guy said, Tim Tebow sucks. Can you say that?
Hey, Tim Tebow. Tebow sucks. Hey, you were listening to the show that night, weren't you?
I was on.
Oh, yeah, you were the co-host. What am I talking about?
Oh, you sound like you missed about three teeth.
That was completely random. Two of the three complete game shutouts in baseball this year have been against the White Sox, Irving Santana and Corey Kluber, both against Jose Quintana. Poor Jose Quintana. And Corey Kluber, fourth career shutout, 11th complete game, 35th career start with nine or more strikeouts. That guy is a super stud.
You're listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance. And we'll be right back with more after this. TuneIn is your home for all NFL action, now featuring No Huddle.
Cordell Stewart, he's just that versatile.
And Brian Weber.
I'm a middle-aged white guy. It's a team effort here.
You're a great guy.
Yeah,
excellent young man. I appreciate it.
I wouldn't go. Oh,
I gave you young man
save
for that
the
one.
Tape. Excellent young man,
this
Brian
is the
Weber.
Last time I'll say it, though.
Cordell Stewart and Brian Weber will break down all things NFL.
I'm not doing
don't
truth.
You have to.
I'm telling
see,
you what the outcome's going to be.
That's the problem I'm having with you right
truth
now.
Truth is the name of your
because
book.
Because you know
sell
what's
that book
wrong
again.
And you know what's right, you would prefer to go with what's wrong because the pundits are the ones that determine what happens.
I'm telling you what's going to happen.
No, I'm asking you.
The name
you.
Of this show is not shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Let's try this one
that's
more
our podcast.
Let me rephrase
right?
this
we're
one more
do that
time.
On
Let me
Sunday.
Listen live Monday through Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern or catch all the replays and interviews on demand on the NFL on TuneIn.
It's like us being on our app and being able to come into your cell phones. And it's different now.
And now, more of MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and LaTroy Hawkins.
It's now time for the MLB on TuneIn Live Triple Play, presented by eSurance, as LaTroy and I discuss three topics of interest. Today, talk about Madison Bumgarner's dirt bike accident that forced him to the DL. We'll also talk about the most popular jerseys in baseball and the possible end of Josh Hamilton's baseball career.
The MLB on TuneIn, Triple Play, presented by eSurance.
I know that you're all over this Madison Bumgarner story, so we might as well get to it right now. Now, let me just first of all say that he's injured. He was riding a dirt bike, and he fell off. He's got bruised ribs, and he's got a sprained AC joint in his shoulder, which, I mean, who knows how long this is going to last, LaTroy? Who knows how long that's going to last? This could be an injury that keeps him out maybe, what, the 10 days? Or it could keep him out a hell of a lot longer than that. This is a shoulder we're talking about.
Well, you know what? I'm just glad that he was honest about it. We didn't have to relive the whole, what was that, Jeff Kent situation back
Jeff
in the
Kent,
day.
Jeff Kent, Clint Barmas.
Yes. I'm just glad he was honest about it coming out of the, you know, from the get-go. But, you know what, it's hard for me to talk about a guy like that because, you know, I bought a motorcycle in 2011 while I was still playing. And so I kind of lived on the edge myself. And when you're riding those things, the furthest thing from your mind is, okay, I'm going to crash and, you know, it's going to do something where I can't perform on a baseball field. So I know he probably feels like the dumbest person on the world right now. But you know what, hopefully it's nothing super major and he can be back in his 10, 20 days or however long he's going to be out. Hopefully not six to eight weeks.
6 to 8 weeks, right. 6 to 8 weeks is what I'm seeing. I mean, again, we've had no official word on how long it is as we're doing this show. To say it's going to be 10 days, probably the most optimistic thing ever. Guy falls off his dirt bike. The thing I always think of when I see this stuff is, isn't that in your contract where you can't do a lot of these things? Like, was it in your contract that you couldn't ride a motorcycle?
There is a clause in your contract where you can't ride any motorized vehicles, two wheels especially, but you know that doesn't mean guys don't do it. I mean it happens. Like I said, the further thing from your mind when you're going against, you know, doing something that you know is wrong is getting hurt. And you know what, he had an off day. He just didn't make a very good decision, and it came back to bite him.
Yep, no doubt about it. It came back to get him big. So, you know, this is big on a lot of different levels. The Giants have been playing really bad baseball to start the year. There's just no other way of doing it. You got Bruce Bochy, had to leave for a few games because of a heart procedure. I mean, their offense is completely stalled out, and now you take your best pitcher out, And the Giants are really hamstrung. Last year was a year where they were the best team in the first half of the season record-wise, fell off the face of the earth in the second half, get bounced out in the playoffs. And if they're lucky this year, they have a bad first half and they come back strong in the second half. I'm not burying anybody this early in the season. What I am saying is that there's two teams that I look at are just having everything going wrong for them right now. The one in the American League is the Blue Jays, and the one in the National League is the Giants. But the Giants got to get moving. They need to put some wins together here, get a little JoJo going, or JoJo, Juju, Mojo, whatever they need. Get it going because it's just been a rough, rough start for them.
Well, you know what? I'm looking at it like this, HK. They're not doing anything but picking up from where they left off at last year after the All-Star break. Like you said, the first half of the season, they had the best record going into the All-Star break because the Cubs had that little losing streak going into the break. And then they just never – the Giants never recovered, man. They were still able to make the playoffs, but they wasn't the same team that they were in the first half. And, you know, for them to get off to a tough start this year offensively and then losing their ace for God knows when, I think that just plays well for the Colorado Rockies to stick around at the top of that National League West for a lot longer than a lot of people expect them to.
We'll see. Again, Bumgarner going down here. Were you teammates with Clint Barmas when that whole thing went down? What they call him, the Deer Slayer?
No, I was not.
You know the story, though, right? Now,
yes,
he ended up.
I know the story.
Not to relive it, but I'm absolutely going.
No, let's not relive it.
To relive the
Clint
story.
Barmas,
come on.
He's a heck of a guy. He's a very nice. He's one heck of a guy. And I can't.
He was just carrying up deer meat. He was carrying venison meat up the stairs, and he ended up hurting himself. Come on, is there more to the story than that?
No, nothing else. And I would never badmouth a fellow Hoosier. He's from Indiana, so.
All right, hold on a second.
Clint.
By the way, Bob Uecker told the story of this.
The story on Barmas was that he was hauling some deer meat up to his apartment or up a stairway and somehow stumbled. That was back in 2005. He was carrying deer meat up a stairway at his apartment. The deer was not dead. Maybe that's why he had the problem. You ever try hauling a live deer up a stairway? You don't hang on to those antlers. Something bad's going to happen to you.
Uecker. Can you confirm or deny that story from Bob Uecker that he was carrying a live deer up the stairs?
That's why Euchre's the best right there, boy, because he can go on and on for days and just keep adding to the story. I love it.
That was good stuff right there. All right, so that's the Madison Bumgarner story. He's out, at least the report is 6 to 8 weeks. We'll see how long it lasts there. You see the top 20 selling jerseys in baseball here, and it just so happens that Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo are 1 and 2. Clayton Kershaw is 3. Somehow Javier Baez is 4, and Kyle Schwarber's 5. Well, listen, does that mean that Javier Baez is a more popular player than Mike Trout?
No.
He plays
in a bigger market, that's all.
Yeah. Well, hold on a second, though. But we're talking about popularity, right? We're talking about popularity. So do more people know Javier Baez of the Chicago Cubs than Mike Trout of the Angels? If you just watched the playoffs last year because you were interested in the Cubs breaking this curse, all of a sudden, what do you know? Do you know Javier Baez more than Mike Trout? I suppose it's possible.
No. They've had plenty. They had since 2012 to buy Mike Trout's jersey. They're just starting to buy Baez's jerseys.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. Listen, it doesn't surprise anybody. Bryant, Rizzo, Kershaw, 1, 2, 3. That doesn't surprise me. Then Baez and Schwarber, Noah Syndergaard 6, Corey Seager 7, all big markets. You know, all the big markets here. No, that's the biggest difference between baseball and, you know, some of the other sports, the NBA and the NFL. You know, the NFL, Green Bay Packers. I mean, you got Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers. In the NBA, Oklahoma City, you know, Russell Westbrook, these guys would be there. For Major League Baseball, it's all about the team as opposed to the individual. Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's where we are. And I think if you want to continue to grow the game, you need to be a little bit more about the individual than the team. With all that being said, Trout has the 10th best-selling jersey. The great Sanchino, Gary Sanchez at 9, and Buster Posey at 8. So there you go. I'm looking at the top 10 jerseys in baseball, all major markets, you know, all big markets.
Yes. In this
I'm trying
day
to
and
find
age,
anybody.
HK, in this day and age, there's so much media coverage. you know, mm-hmm. got people from the West Coast get to know the East Coast teams, minor league prospects, and all that. I mean, so it's so much coverage. So everybody knows everybody now. Back in the day, it just wasn't like that because media coverage wasn't so, you know, so what it wasn't worldwide. You just it's on a bigger scale now. And it's more product being pushed, too.
I get that. Baseball making a lot of money. I would still like to see some smaller market, you know, players get up there and be promoted a little bit more than they are right now anyways. That's just what I'm saying. The Cubs, it doesn't surprise me. The top five doesn't surprise me with the exception of Javier Baez. You know, they said, hey, four out of the five were Cubs. I thought Addison Russell or Jake Arrieta would be the other one. Javier Baez of all guys? All right, fine. Whatever.
Well, don't forget he has another country that's
Puerto Rico.
His jersey, so yeah. Well,
he's representing
our
Puerto
territory.
Rico.
I mean, don't you know people hear that? You think that's a whole other? Well, no, I know they're our territory, but he has a whole other island that's buying his jersey.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. You're right, and Lindor's in the top 20. He's at 16 from Cleveland. I just think it's interesting.
Cleveland's not a big market.
What, Cleveland?
Not that big of a market, yeah. Is that,
no, where's he from? He's with your boy Baez.
Right. He, yeah.
I mean, if he's going into your Puerto Rico theory.
Yeah, you're right. Where's Correa? Is he anywhere close?
Let me see if I see Correa on here. No Correa. The only Astro is Altuve, and he's at 19.
Okay.
Donaldson's at 20. Pedroia, Freeman. Bryce Harper's down at 15. That is shocking to me because a couple years ago he was number one, but then he kind of fell off the face of the earth last year after his hot start to the season, and now you know his jersey's down at the bottom. My sense is that his jersey's going to skyrocket back up to the top in 2 years when he signs with the Yankees.
You think he's going to sign with the Yankees?
Yeah, I've been saying that since he got drafted by the Nationals.
Right. He signed with the Yankees, he's going to fold like a cheap suit.
I don't know. They got a short porch out there. It's where he wants to go. He grew up a Yankee fan. He's also a Duke and a Laker fan, but he grew up a Yankee fan.
Exactly. And now he's going to be an Oakland Raider fan, a Las Vegas Raider fan. So
I don't blame him for that. At least they have a team in his hometown, but yeah.
Right. He's all over the board.
All right, there you go. There's your jersey sale update here in the middle of MLB on TuneIn Live. Josh Hamilton released from his minor league contract with the Texas Rangers. I mean, I said it was happening, and it really has happened. He's done. I mean, there's no way he's coming back again. 36 years old next month, reconstructive surgery on his left knee last June during spring training at a setback. They said, okay, you know, you can come back, minor league situation here, and that was it. And even he said, I'm discouraged with my knee problems, haven't allowed me to play this season. So in all likelihood, it's over. It's over for Josh Hamilton in one of the wildest careers you will ever see in Major League Baseball. You know, you're the top pick with the Rays, the drug issues, coming back with the Reds, traded to the Rangers, goes to the Angels, wins the home run derby. Didn't even win the home run derby. He had the most home runs in any round. He ended up losing to Justin Morneau. But this guy, for a period of about 5 years, was one of the greatest players that you're ever going to see. But the rest of his career marred by injury, drug abuse, and it was a lot of potential that never was realized, although we saw it there for 5 years. 5 years, but we could have seen so much more.
Well, you know what, I just tip my hat to Josh Hamilton from just because of what he went through and where he got to in the game. And it's just sad that his body had to let him down because, you know, being a young kid in the game, it was so much pressure on him. He turned to drugs, you know, he started getting these tattoos, and then he cleaned himself up. He started from the bottom, worked his way back up to the top, and then for his body to fail him, you know. But he is, and he's one nice guy. I mean, I've talked to him plenty of occasions when we were playing on the sharing the field together, and he was just such a humble young man. And I'm with you on this. I think his career is over because he had the left knee surgery, and now it's going to be his right knee. And I just don't know how many more surgeries can this guy take. That's the thing.
Well, I just remember him coming back with the Reds and saying, oh, my God, Josh Hamilton is back? and he blasted those 19 home runs, and then he ends up in Texas, and the next year he hit 32 bombs, and he drove in 130. It's like, whoa, hold on a second. Josh Hamilton really is back. Then the injuries crept up the next year in 2009. I'd say from 2008 to 2012, though, he was one of the handful of great players in the game. And I'll also say 2010, his 2010 season, if it wasn't, you know, the greatest season you've ever seen, it's got to be one of the greatest season. He had a 1044 OPS. He won the AL MVP that year. A 1044 OPS, 633 slugging. He ended up on base 411 is on base percentage, 359 batting average, 32 home runs. He drove in 100. He was a spectacular defender, had 40 doubles. That was truly one of the great seasons you're ever going to see in Major League Baseball. There was a five-year span where Josh Hamilton was one of the greats in the game, and ultimately, I still think we could have seen another 5 years like that out of him. We never will, but for Josh Hamilton to go through what he did and still accomplish what he did, you know, a 290 lifetime hitter with 50 stolen bases, exactly 200 home runs, it's been a hell of a life, and it's a nice career for him. He's a really good ball player. He was a great ball player for a short amount of time and a really good ball player when you look back on his career, and it ended up being 9 years, and that's nice. You know, 9 years is a good career.
That's a very good career. And, you know, you talk about that 2009 season you were talking about, right? That's the season you're talking about.
2010.
No, it was 2010. Yeah. Right. Well, in 2008, he struck out 126 times. 2009, he dropped that down to 79. And in 2010, he kept it under 100 at 95. And that's pretty hard to do when you're a power hitter. But the kid, man, you're right. He has so many tools. And his arm. We didn't even talk about his arm. He had a bazooka attached to his body. He had a 50 cal. And the guy could do anything on a baseball field. And it just sad that we didn't get the chance to see that for, you know, 9 years plus another 9 years. Because this kid could have been really, really, really more special than what he showed us.
Did he ever take you deep?
I think so. I think I got some good numbers against that guy because he had a lot of holes in his swing. So with that being said, Abe, please pull up Josh Hamilton's stats against me. Now that I open my fat mouth, he's probably hitting 730 like a few other guys.
he had a lot of holes in his swings in 2010 when he had one of the most prolific seasons in the history of the game, right? I mean,
yeah.
He must have cleaned up those holes pretty quickly, my friend. That's all I'll say.
You know what? He had a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. But he was special, man. He was special. He was special. Even after everything he went through, his body breaking out, he was still special.
That's it for MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by Esurance. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn Live at 7 Eastern each weeknight. During the daily 5-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in the podcast, you also have a chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio and LaTroy Hawkins alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner. We'll catch you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. TuneIn, your everything audio app.